You are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for August Donnelly's Full Frontal here on CHRW 94.9 FM. I am the man, not the month, wishing you a good day or good evening, depending upon where in the world you are. We're kicking off the year's AB here on Full Frontal. That's AB as in Alpha Bravo, or more accurately, After Barb. Our co-host with the most is now pursuing other endeavors, and we wish her well, but hey, I'm the reason you tune in, so let's get down to business. Folks, my guest tonight has a penchant for the weird and the whimsical. In fact, having authored countless books and acting as a media mogul in this regard, he has done more than his share to show the world that different is good. Ladies and gentlemen, from Ripley's Believe It or Not, Tim O'Brien is on the show tonight and will be joined by Tim via telephone in just a few minutes. So, between now and then, let's have a laugh at a few things that have happened thus far in 2009, shall we? One thing off the top of my head that's, of course, of paramount significance. President Obama has now been in office for approximately a month. He's doing a great job, I think. We've got the shutdown of the military prison at Guantanamo Bay signed off. He's sticking to his guns thus far, so good for you, Obama. Let's keep going with the good deeds and see how far we can get this country and, of course, our neighbors to the south, because it directly impacts us. Evolving, I suppose we could say. And in relation to evolution, February the 12th, just a few days ago, was Darwin Day, the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin, of course, the great naturalist and father of the theory of evolution. Now, in reference to that, every year are given out the Darwin Awards, which of course are named after Charles Darwin. However, the irony is that these are individuals who never quite evolved, perhaps as far as they should have. The Darwin Awards, according to the official website, are named in honor of Charles Darwin, the father of evolution. The Darwin Awards commemorate those who improve our gene pool by removing themselves from it. So, here's a quick excerpt of what you can expect with the Darwin Awards website, darwinawards.com. Funny stuff if you ever want to have a good laugh and kill a few minutes. I thought this story was particularly funny being Canadian and enjoying a good laugh from my fellow proud Canadians. Sleeping residents of Chilliwack, British Columbia were awakened early one morning by the sound of a small aircraft flying lower than usual. The engine noise was like a mosquito, zooming too close, too quick, then veering away. So, what the hell was going on? Well, in the wee hours of the night, during a bout of heavy drinking, two future Darwin Award nominees concluded that although neither had a pilot's license nor any flight training whatsoever, they nevertheless knew enough to pilot an aircraft. They drew this obvious conclusion and decided to take a plane from the small local airport for a drunken joyride, or I guess joy flight, over the city. They even invited two females along for the ride, but fortunately the level-headed ladies declined. From idea to execution, the plan evolved quickly. One of the gentlemen worked at the airport and had access to the tarmac, so the two men then managed to unlock a plane and get it off the ground and into the sky. They went on to buzz around in the dark, skimming above the roofs of the houses in Chilliwack, and this went on for an extended period of time. Eventually, when fuel reserves began to dwindle, they decided to land. They attempted to land on the grassy medium between the east and westbound lanes of the Trans-Canada Highway, and they almost made it under the electrical wires that crossed the medium. Almost. Where these wires were concerned, fate intervened. Instead of making a soft landing on the grassy verge, the tail clipped the wires, sending the aircraft diving nose-first into the ground and killing both occupants. I suppose only then were the sleepy Chilliwack residents able to return to their soft slumber. Amazing, though. This happened a few years ago now, but it never ceases to amaze me. You know, I hate to hear my listeners and friends and cohorts saying, you know, those stupid Americans or those dumb Americans. Canadians are every bit as stupid. It's just that we only have one-tenth of their population, so we only seem to be one-tenth as stupid. Believe me, stupidity is universal. Anyway, one other big thing that I wanted to mention for a laugh, and again, you know, when you have thoughts, comments, questions, email me, august@chrwradio.com. Feel free to voice your opinion. We'll read it on the air. Alex Rodriguez, about a week ago, came out and admitted, yep, I used steroids, I used performance-enhancing substances, a blood sample taken from him in 2003 tested positive for steroids and testosterone, just like our good friend, home run King Barry Bonds. And I thought it was really funny that now, the highest-paid baseball player in professional baseball history, Alex Rodriguez, the man fans refer to as A-Rod, is now being referred to as A-Fraud. I thought that was pretty cool. A-Fraud Rodriguez. Poor old A-Fraud. I mean, thankfully he made $275 million on his most recent contract. That's a pretty good payday, because let's face it, he'll probably not make it to Cooperstown now and various things like that. But what a joke. I mean, seriously, is there any bastion of talent left in professional baseball or any sport for that matter? I love hockey, as my listeners know. I love my Boston Bruins. God bless the fantastic season they're having so far. But seriously, if they start drug testing in the NHL, I might have to stop watching that too, because, I don't know, some of those guys they're getting a little too big for hockey players, 6'6", 250 pounds, it's a little more like an NFL lineman, and, not like those guys are on steroids. Anyway, folks, we've got Tim O'Brien on the line with Ripley's Believe It or Not, so let's not keep Tim waiting.
And now we're joined by Tim O'Brien of Ripley's Believe It or Not. Tim, thanks for making an appearance here on Full Throttle.
Hey, my pleasure.
I think logically the first question on the mind of most folks would be, how exactly would you become involved with Ripley's and just fast of entertainment in general?
Oh, I'll tell you, it was absolute luck for me. I'm a trained journalist. I was a journalist, photojournalist all my life, and I covered the circus, carnival, sideshow, amusement park industries for a magazine called Amusement Business. And through the years, I got to know all the Ripley people.
Okay.
And, I grew up going to elementary school book fairs. For 75 cents and your parents' permission, you could buy a book. They would send me a little list. And I used to buy all the Ripley's books. And I thought, by the time I joined Ripley's, I'd been to most of their museums in the United States because I was a big fan.
So I guess it was a dream job for you, almost, having grown up with such an affinity for it.
Absolutely, it is. It is. It's a cool subject to talk about, a cool subject to be involved in, and I'll tell you, I was always a little on the macabre and weird and strange side of life anyway.
Right.
And I mean, this is whenever I tell people, hey, I work for Ripley's, they say, of course you do. It's perfect.
I've always had a bit of a fascination with that sort of thing myself, too, and, horror films and stuff like that, and people say, don't you eventually grow out of that? And I say, well, they're classic, though. I mean, it's you don't go to see, if you say I'm a macabre or a disturbing film because it's going to win an Oscar. You don't expect to see great acting. You go to see the shock factor,
Absolutely.
And it's amazing. People say, don't you grow out of that, or don't you get tired of that? Well, I'm not going for the entertainment, or rather, I am going for the entertainment value. I'm not going to be impressed necessarily. I'm going to be shocked,
And that's one thing that really surprised me about Ripley once I started looking at it from this side, other than a fan or just a visitor's standpoint, is that we're so much more than shock.
Mm-hmm.
Very little. There's really little to do with shock when you come into one of our museums.
Right.
There's a lot of fascination and a lot of sense of discovery,
mm-hmm.
but not that much, oh my gosh, in a type of thing, because it's not like a fun house. It's just the items that you look at. And everybody will look at the same item in a totally different way.
Exactly.
Some people will look at it in disgust. Others will look at it in sheer wonderment.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not so much the sideshow that people may think it is.
That's absolutely right. I mean, we've got the educational stuff, and we've got the, we go everywhere from the, the six-legged cow to the two-trunked elephant to the albino giraffe. Then we go to the other side. We go to the shrunken head. Go to amazing medieval torture and humiliation devices. Okay, so all that stuff is real, and all that stuff is very educational.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the other end. We have a 6-foot-tall portrait of John Wayne made out of laundry lint.
Now that's when you start to wonder. Some people have entirely too much time in their hands.
Absolutely. We have a 6-foot-square portrait of Barack Obama made out of gumballs, 12,000 gumballs.
Oh, jeez.
And so, we go to, and then we've got Eiffel Towers made out of toothpicks. We've got a space shuttle.
Right.
Not a full-size space shuttle, but as like a 17-foot-long space shuttle that's huge, that's made out of almost 2 million matchsticks, wooden matchsticks.
Jeez.
Glued together. So, we have a full array of fun for the whole family.
I've always wondered this. Does Ripley's recruit or scout for unusual tales and talents, or do people come to you, guys, and then say, hey, you'll never guess what I can do?
It's a combination of both. we are in such a expansion mode. We opened 3 new museums last year. We've got 3 new, believe it or not, museums set for this year. And the economy's not going to slow us down. We're going to go ahead and build them and get them open. But, you know, when we're opening this many, considering that each one will have between 500 and 800 artifacts, we, you know, our shelves are pretty bare right now. So we are aggressively trying to acquire new, believe it or not. You know, a lot of this stuff will be duplicated from venue to venue, but we only go for the genuine stuff. So when we run out of genuine whatevers, we're not going to make a duplicate. You know, we have to find more.
Right. So Ripley's doesn't fabricate or recreate artifacts, you would say?
Nope. Ripley himself was very proud of the fact that people called him, well, you know, when he was doing the cartoons only before he actually had museums, people would call him a liar when he would come back from his world journeys with all these sketches and photographs. And people said, no, there's no way you could get a shrunken head the size of a fist. That was a real person. And he says, but I saw it. Yeah, right. So he had to start bringing stuff back to prove to people.
The actual artifacts, yeah.
And that's how he built up such a big collection of artifacts, which we still have virtually everything that he ever collected, we still have in our archives.
And this is going back nearly 100 years.
1918, it was his very first. We're celebrating our 90th anniversary this year.
Yeah, I was going to say, so that's, well, yeah, the better part of a century. I mean, that's phenomenal when you think that these artifacts exist. I mean, obviously, many of them would have come into being long before he even discovered them, so I'm imagining some of your artifacts go back, you know, centuries.
Oh, yeah, we do. We've got a lot of real old Chinese jade carvings. Mm-hmm. Like that, we have one of the world's largest collection of the torture and humiliation devices from the medieval times. And I mean, we've got 2 original Iron Maiden torture devices. And
oh, jeez.
And you know, that's nobody collects that stuff or at least shows it.
Right.
So, although it's a little Muldrin, it's a little non-mainstream.
Right.
I mean, we have it, and, you know, and it's educational.
A lot of people don't realize the stuff actually existed, you know. They think it is folklore, and then they see it, and they think, wow, that actually existed, you know.
That's right. And you know, if any of your listeners have anything, you know, if they have a potato chip that looks like Mother Teresa or whatever, I urge you to contact us. You know, you can go to ripleys.com, and there's all kinds of clues there to how to let us know what you have.
In Canada, do you have locations in Canada, I presume?
We do. We have one in on Prince Edward Island, and
yep.
We've had a presence in Niagara Falls, Canada, since the mid-50s. So we're right now, we have 32, believe it or not, museums worldwide, but we have 73 attractions. So we're into a lot more than the believe it or not now, the Ripley Company. So we're quite whimsical in our entire attitude towards business. We're a very successful business, and we're very huge right now. I mean, in Niagara Falls alone, we have the Louis Tussauds Wax Museum, not to be confused with the Madame Tussauds. We have Louis Tussauds. We have a 3D, we call it Ripley's Moving Theater, and we have the Believe It or Not Museum. Then, just right outside of town, down by the Whirlpool on the Gorge, we own the Big Great Wolf Lodge, which we built, it's been over 2 years now, and it just got the TripAdvisor Award in Canada for being the best family vacation spot.
Wow.
So, I mean, we're real proud of that. It's 406 rooms, it's an indoor water park, 100,000, we have 14 water slides and a wave pool. I mean, it's great. It overlooks the Niagara River Gorge, and then we have a really nice miniature golf course attached to that, so... We're in a whole bunch of different things.
Absolutely, and again, for the listeners in my broadcast region, you know, in the southwestern Ontario region, Niagara Falls is only, you know, 2.5 hours from here, so, you know, for those that are listening, get down there and check it out. You know, it's a great little day trip kind of thing.
Yeah, and, you know, especially this time of year when the weekends are very unpredictable weather-wise.
Exactly.
You know, come on over and spend the weekend at the Great Wolf Lodge, and you don't even have to leave. I mean, we've got restaurants, we've got boutiques, we've got arcades, we've got spas, we've got meeting rooms, we have this huge indoor water park, and all of our rooms are suites. Kids each have their own little areas with their own little TVs and video games in. we're very proud of it. It's doing really well, and in fact, I'm coming up in a couple weeks. I can't even stay at our lodge because there's no room.
The irony, huh?
Yeah, I'm sleeping in my car, I think.
Jeez. Now, Tim, I have to ask, too, given your travels and your experiences, what are some of your favorite experiences, or what sticks in your mind, you know, the biggest and best, or the weirdest and most macabre during your time with Ripley's? Maybe your top three kind of thing, if you can choose. I know it must be hard.
Well, I think the joy of it all is standing outside one of our attractions and watching people get excited as they buy their ticket. I mean, that to me is the whole story right there. No matter what they're buying a ticket for, whether it's our Believe It or Not, our Wax Museum, miniature, they are anticipating a huge amount of fun. And it's so much fun to work for a company whose main job in life is to put smiles on people's faces. I love that aspect of my job. But as far as the macabre, the weird, I would say, like I spoke earlier about the Iron Maiden. Now, the Iron Maiden, not the band.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, they're kind of macabre themselves.
in a different way, yeah.
Sorry, but the Iron Maiden was a vertical, almost like a sarcophagus that looks like a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, and it's got spikes in it. So when you open the door, you've got 12-inch spikes. And what they would do in the medieval time, if you wouldn't admit to something, to heresy or whatever, put you in this thing, threaten to slam the door on you. And if they slammed the door on you, you would be dead because I think there's like a dozen spikes are aimed at certain parts of your body that would penetrate you totally. And so we have two real ones of those. You know? And we've had DNA testing on them, and yes, there is human blood.
Several
of them on each. So they've actually killed people. You know,
yeah.
You look at that and you go, oh my gosh. You know, and then on the other hand, you know, we have the Havaro Indian shrunken heads, and those are the size of your fist, and they're actual human heads, which were trophy heads in war that the Havaro shrunk, put on the end of sticks, and used as intimidation devices. And, you know, that would intimidate you if you start break in on them. But you look at that and you go, you know, I'm holding in my hand what used to be a living person. And the holy hell that they must have gone through when they had their head cut off.
Oh, yeah.
And something like that. I mean, as you can tell, I'm all for the backstory of stuff. Very few things that we look at in this industry that actually gross us out. It's the... Well, I shouldn't say that. In our new book, Prepare to be Shocked, we have a doctor holding up an 86-pound tumor that he took out of a lady's stomach.
Oh, jeez.
And that's pretty much of a gagger there.
That's, you know, the size of probably the average 12- or 13-year-old child, you know.
It is. I mean, the doctor can hardly hold it up, and it's a full-color photograph. It
was
really gross.
I was going to say full-color, no doubt with a high-quality digital camera.
Absolutely, yeah, high-res.
Exactly. As gory as possible, you can almost, you know, smell the blood. Jeez. Tim, I have to ask, too, have you ever seen the black and white cult classic Freaks made in the early 30s?
Yeah.
The old movie. What's your reaction to that, and maybe now or versus when you first saw it? Does that, I understand it's an old film, obviously, 70 or 80 years old now. Is it at all what Ripley's is about, do you think, or is that sort of a far less humane and... you know, less politically correct view of the way, you know, the sideshows and then Freaks were, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, our roots go back into that era. You know, Robert Ripley himself loved what he called Freaks. He would go and film them and tape them, and then he always made sure they had money, though, when he left. And he always took care of their family. I mean, Ripley was just a very kind-hearted person to the less fortunate. And so... when he opened his first auditorium in 1933 at the Chicago World's Fair, it was a big tent. It was just a temporary facility that ended up lasting a year. But what he did was he would have two parts of the tent. One were all the artifacts that he had collected. And the other half was basically a free 10-in-1 sideshow. Had sword swallowers, he had the lobster boy, and, you know, and all of this. So he In fact, it was so grotesque for people back in 1933, who, of course, didn't have TV and not that many color photographs, to see this kind of stuff. Totally amazing. And what they had to do, the second day of the fair, they had to bring in cots and add an extension to the back of the tent for people who would pass out when they saw this stuff.
Oh, jeez.
So that's pretty cool. But to get back to your specific, Ripley always had, and we still do, when we have openings, we opened our new San Antonio, Texas facility last May, and we had the 99 Eyes Freak Show out of Austin, Texas come over. And, you know, we had the human tripod, the lady with no legs.
Right.
We had the Lobster Boy, and we had the Elephant Man, and we had all kinds. And these people are very proud to be called Freak. In fact, their whole show is an educational show that talks about, you know, we're proud of freaks. We want to bring the word freak back into show business. And they don't consider people with a lot of tattoos or that eat fire or swallow swords freaks.
Mm-hmm.
They're the people who are physical anomalies that have the various diseases and so forth that does, freak them. Make them freaks. They're very proud of that. And so through the years, as you said, they became non-politically correct. When welfare came in, a lot of them found out that they could make just as much money staying at home
right.
than they could out on the road. But, several people like Grady Stiles, who was probably the best-known Lobster Boy, he made it a family business. I mean, they made a lot of money. They were their own bosses. They had their own help. They took their own tents from carnival, sideshow, to fair, to circus, whatever. And so that is in our blood very much, just as it was in Barnum's blood.
Yeah, I was going to say P.T. Barnum, of course. I think he was more notorious for exploiting exhibits, things like that, but more so than Ripley, anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he was much more exploitative, and he had his museums only, where Ripley was an enterprise through life. I mean, he started as a cartoonist. He went into radio. Then he opened up the World's Fair auditoriums, and then he got on radio, and then he did lecture circuit, and he did the Saturday movie tone matinee type of movie reel that would show before the feature on Saturday afternoon
right.
At the theater. So he did all that. He also wrote and produced, 20 different movies himself. And he died on live television in 1949 on the 13th show of his pioneer broadcast of a TV show for Ripley.
Jeez.
So the guy was really a Renaissance man. Plus, he was a professional baseball player in 1914 for the New York Giants as a pitcher.
Wow. when you think about it that way, that is a Renaissance man, like you said. I mean, he had his finger in a bit of everything.
He was friends with, he was an A-list while he was in New York. I mean, the guy was doofy. He was not a good-looking man. He was losing hair. He had buck teeth. He was kind of short and paunchy. And, he was on the A-list. He had basically an Asian harem at all three of his houses that he had in New York. He had anywhere between 6 and 10 Asian ladies living, caring for the house and his needs. And, he just loved the Asian culture. And, he was married for only 2 years officially, but only 3 months in reality
right.
to a Ziegfeld Follies girl. Rip was kind of quite the man himself. I would have loved to have met him.
I can only imagine. Absolutely. They're a dying breed, that's for sure. Now, Tim, if people want to gain more information and, learn more about the fascinating stuff you've talked about, is the website the best way to go, or what's the best avenue?
Yeah, I would certainly say start at our website, ripleys.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun, educational, as well as spot for adventure. There's all kinds of senses of discovery there. And then we have, it's almost like the YouTube for the weird. We've got a lot of videos of some weird stuff that people have sent to us. So it's a fun thing. And we've got all of our attractions listed there and where they are and, the hours and so forth. So definitely go there to get everything started.
Absolutely. Well, Tim, thank you very much for being on the show. It was a pleasure to speak with you.
Hey, it's my pleasure, guys. Have fun.
Folks, we are all out of time for another edition of August Donnelly's Full Frontal. Remember, you can catch us here on 94.9 FM CHRW or on Rogers Digital Cable, channel 943, Mondays at 6:30 a.m. and again at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Until then, if you have any questions for myself or a guest, past or present, send an email to august@chrwradio.com or through my official website at www.augustdonnelly.com. Tune in next time. You just might learn something.